Today, my guest is Igor Tomich, who is founder and CEO of Dash Devs. Igor, welcome to the podcast.
Hello and welcome, listeners. I'm so pleased to be on your podcast, Rutger.
Now, Igor, we always start with that very important question, which is, why do you do what you do, Igor?
That's a really great question. And I would say that I have quite a long answer, which is twofold. And I will go a little bit into history. So my why started really long time ago in 97, when my parents bought me the computer while I've been 12 years old. And at this moment, and being in Ukraine, being in Kharkiv, which is second largest city in Ukraine, and actually the whole world was kind of different. Like, we didn't have cell phones, we didn't have the penetration with the computers. It was kind of quite niche thing for the nerds who are working in corporations maybe, or I don't know, large organizations. It's not something that we grasp as a humanity or a country. And I saw this world. I went to the computer courses. I understood that there is two different worlds. One is a physical one. And being in Ukraine, you kind of need to travel 1 hour and a half to the university where you have access to the computers. And there are teachers who are explaining you how computers are working. And they're quite different because in this case, you have something which you can write instructions, explain what you want in quite a specific way, and then it start do the things which are not existing in the real world. And it fascinated me then, back then, and still fascinates me that there is a technology where you can do the things which are not existing in the real world, but they affect the real world in really big manner. And nowadays, it's technology as AI or a lot of different technologies. But this magical moment where you have a keyboard, you have a mouse, you have a display, and then you're typing and running something, and then it completely changes the outcome of what you typed is a magical moment. And I jumped that was the reason why I jumped into the software engineering university, my master's degree in computer information security and data management. So even before the first grade in university, I knew that I will go into the banking industry. So it's kind of combined the passion for the computers and making the things to work as a software. And then second, I never wanted to start the company to do really great big things. Like, I worked in outsourcing from 2004. I was lucky enough to start when I was 18. So I joined the first company in outsourcing when I was years old. I already had certain experience then since I was working with the computers from age of 12. And I was developing, know how different things in Unix systems works, Windows, understanding the computer architecture. So I jumped into the first work. And I never wanted to do something like bigger, but then I understood if I'm an engineer and I want to do the complex and complicated projects, I need to have the control out of the outcome. And that's how I started my own company. And while working and just making great projects on the mobile side, I said, we found ourselves helping fintechs. And I think from my kind of background, because I've really like solving riddles and complicated tasks, I see that a fintech is really good crossroad for the things which we have an implication in real life, but it's impacted by the digital products. And we jumped into the fintech in 2015-16. We started with UK market with the Down LLP investment platforms. And then I had a chance to completely architect the bank in United Kingdom, which was called Dozens. We worked with a bunch of different projects. I implemented the open banking infrastructure in Bahrain with the Tara Boot. We helped different names like NatWest, Rec Bank in GCC region. We worked with the Aspiration Partners. And maybe to sum up, I really believe that there is a way to do much better digital products. Because as humanity, we're just learning how we're interacting with computers. There is no generation which didn't know the world without the computers. Like, we just see the Gen Z who is kids of the screens, but they're not into the adult life and design the product. So we are really in just the beginning, like how we really embed the technology into our lives. And it's a fascinating process. And I think we will get much better with that.
So your why is that you like to solve riddles, and it feels like you're also mesmerized by the technology of computers that allow you to create something out of nothing by telling it through code what to do. Is that right?
Yeah, it's like, maybe to sum up, it's game theory. So it's not a zero game when you add plus one or one minus one equals zero. It's like a, by adding what you want and the computer, you get more than two. You get a new product, you get new business process. And that's what I really believe is driving me. I have this big hunger to make the things which are working with this great opportunity as a technology.
Yeah. So you believe in the infinite game. That's also another great book by Simon Sinek. Now, so that's your why. What is the number one thing that you solve for at DashDevs?
The first thing we solved, maybe the education. Because for doing the things which are complex and complicated, you need to have the culture which is driving education. It's pretty combined how I started the company. Because before starting the company, I started the iOS development courses. So I think it comes hand in hand, because to do the things which are not existing or complicated, you need to have a process where you properly aligning with the people who is executing or educating them how to do it properly. And I think that's a part that we do quite efficient with our company. We are T-shaped experts, our engineers, and what we do is primarily focus on doing the things for the fintechs and the financial sector. That's why we have really amazing internal knowledge management tools and processes. We are internally doing a lot of education. Also, we do a lot of external education, like we do webinars, we explaining how specific things are working from technology and business perspective. So I think that's the first thing which I solved even before starting the company, like educating people, and then took it as a knowledge and as a process into the company.
And so what is the main outcome that you deliver for your customers? So when you work with financial institutions and fintechs, what do you help them accomplish?
We helped Cerebut to actually get the proof of concept and initial concept of the white label banking, open banking infrastructure for account aggregation and payment initiation in Bahrain. And the outcome was that they raised the round A with the 32 millions as a Series A funded. I think it shows a really great example that by having a technical partner who can help to properly architect the solution, who can do the proper knowledge management and transfer to existing team, and it can help to scale the business case, because we started the infrastructure in Bahrain and then it's quickly extended into Dubai. So, and right now they're working with the Saudi Arabia. So it shows that we are supporting the companies in different levels, getting the things done, but also making sure that the businesses continue to run with the required business processes.
Now, if you talk to your customers, how do they describe the value that you bring to a project with them?
I think that's usually quite simple to define. It's a better budget and faster time to the market, because you can do the things in digital products in a million different ways. And I think for startups or even established institutions right now, it's essential to do within the proper timelines and with the proper budget. And that what I think is our value proposition. We understand the complexity of the things. So we can properly say, okay, that is going to work and this one is not. And the budget and the timing for that should be X and Y. And that's what we do. We're helping to properly budget and timeline projects and understand if it can be delivered.
That is great value to make sure that you deliver on time and on spec and on budget. Now, I like to do this thing called futures thinking, which is where we think about a possible future. We don't know what the future is going to bring us, but let's think 10 years out, 2035. What do you see in the financial services space?
It's a really good question. I was thinking about this before the session. And sometimes like you can try to do the projection by using the previous periods. And I'm lucky enough to be in information technology before like a radical change with the mobile platforms. And my story about iPhone, like I was working in 2000, 8, I was working with a company from Netherlands, and I bought an iPhone, and we were doing the virtualization software for the desktops. And I was showing like, hey, it's so cool. You can do the multi-touch, you can play piano. And actually managers, they were a little bit making fun of me. Like, I'm 23 years old. I'm kind of promoting the technology, which no one knows how it will affect the world. They like, no one need an iPhone, like multi-touch, right. What it does.
Right.
And actually that was a big difference how I saw the technology and how the other people saw at that moment. Like, I knew that it's going to change the world because it's given a different way how we operate. Like, we are not using trucks for getting into the cities. We're using smaller cars, scooters to get the things that we need faster and cheaper. And I don't think that right now technology is personalized enough that we're using like a tap to pay, but we're not paying with biometrics. I think right now it's not enough personalization. And there are different ways how to get that, like with the different ways, fingerprints, face recognition, I don't know, personalized wearable devices in different forms. So I think in 10 years, we might see different platforms which will allow us more personalized experience, including fintechs. So iPhone is going to be the next truck. Like, you will not have an iPhone or form factor in your pocket, but you will have something which is less intruding and more seamless for your personal experience.
So what does that look like? Is it still wearable? Is it maybe part of our body? How do you see that?
Essentially, it's going to be the part of the body. Like, it's quite easy to predict. It's just the matter of time. We will have this, but I'm not sure if it's like a 10 years lifetime. It's a good analogy with the space. Like, right now, and that's my favorite question, like, how many people right now in the space? And usually no one knows an answer, and there is a website, and usually up to 10 people. It's a small fraction of 8 billions, and kind of by having the technology, it doesn't mean that we're using it in full scale. So I think embedding into the human body, it will take longer period. But if we're talking right now, like, it's not a big example, but still, Apple Watch. I'm paying 90% with the Apple Pay, with the Apple Watch, because it's so convenient. Like, I'm always with watches. I don't need to authenticate, because the moment when I actually activate the phone or the watch, it knows.
Yep.
So it might be different ways, like glasses or rings. It's something wearable. So I don't know the form factor. I'm not a hardware guy. I'm not a product guy. But the logic says that we will need more seamless experience rather than just phones, bricks in our pockets, something more, which is less intruding. And I think it will be on the market in the next 10 years.
If that becomes reality, what can we do today to get ready for that future?
Be T-shaped experts, because I think nowadays it's not good enough to have one silo of understanding something as a technology, as an engineer. It's not enough to understand how the software is built. You need to understand how the business is working and choose your domain. It might be fintech, healthcare, media, whatever. There is a lot of different interesting industries and domains. But I think nowadays it requires really versatile understanding of the things, how something is built, how something is consumed by the customers, how marketing works. So I really, really suggest invest into the education and become T-shaped expert rather than siloed. So it's the process that can never end.
Constant learning, keep up, and don't put the blinders on, be more broad. Yeah. That I think is probably a great point to wrap this up on. Thank you very much, Igor, for being on the podcast.
Thank you. I appreciate the time, and thank you for your invitation once again.
And until next time, choose to be curious.